Translation by His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai. The insuperable ecstasy was so strong that the queens, who were shy, first embraced the Lord in the innermost recess of their hearts. Then they embraced Him visually, and then they sent their sons to embrace Him, which is equal to personal embracing. But, O chief amongst the Bhrigus, though they tried to restrain their feelings, they inadvertently shed tears. Purport. Although due to feminine shyness, there were many hindrances to embracing the dear husband, Lord Sri Krishna, the queens performed that act by seeing Him, by putting Him in the cause of their hearts, and by sending their sons to embrace Him. Still, the act remained unfinished, and tears rolled down their cheeks despite all endeavors to check them. One indirectly embraces the husband by sending the son to embrace him. Because the son is developed as part of the mother's body, the embrace of the son is not exactly the embrace of the husband and wife from a sexual point of view, but the embrace is satisfaction from the affectionate point of view. The embrace of the eyes is more effective in conjugal relation. And thus, according to Srila Jiva Goswami, there is nothing wrong in such an exchange of feeling between husband and wife. Om Jnana Timirandasya Jnananjana Salakaya Chaksurun Maletanjena Tasme Sri Guru Venama Sri Chaitanya Manobistam Stapitam Jena Bhutala Svayam Rupakara Mayam Darati Svapadantika Vandeham Sri Guru Sri Yuta Padakamalam Sri Gurun Vaishnavamscha Sri Rupam Sakrajatam Saganaragunatam Vitam Tam Sajivam Sadvaitam Savadutam Parijana Saitam Krishna Chaitanya Devam Sri Radha Krishna Padam Sahagana Lalita Sri Vishaka Vitamscha He Krishna Karuna Sindhu Dina Bandhu Jagatpati Gopisha Gopika Kanta Radha Kanta Namostate Tapta Kanchana Gorange Radhe Vrindavaneshwari Vishabhanu Sutadevi Pranamami Aripriya Vanchakalpa Tarvyascha Kripa Sindhu Vyavicha Patitanam Pavanibhyo Vaishnavbhyo Namo Nama Sri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Sri Advaita Gadadhara Srivasari Gaura Bhaktavinda Hare Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare Hare. This side. On my face. You want to see my face? Oh, okay. Okay, it's a very, very elevated subject matter. It's very esoteric, very I'm. It's a completely transcendental platform. It's very, very difficult to talk about it. But at the same time, we cannot discuss philosophy, philosophy, philosophy. We need to get some rasa, some taste. We need to understand the name, form, the pastimes, and the activities of the Lord, especially after being like 15, 20 years in the movement. We have to know which direction we're going. So we can see here all our soldiers are out there in the freezing cold distributing books. And here we are in a cozy room listening to Bhagavatam, but we're the fortunate ones. They are very fortunate, actually. So we have to give them all glories to their wonderful service out there. So before I start, we have to understand fully that this subject matter is completely on a transcendental platform. And we hear speaking about the Supreme Personality of Godhead, who is the controller, who is the creator, who is the maintainer, who is the destroyer of this whole creation, basically. Ishvara Parama Krishna Satchidananda Vigraha Anadiradi Govindam Sarvakarna Karnam is the cause of all causes. So we have to understand this. Sometimes it's very easy to compare transcendental subject matters with our material lifestyle. So in this verse, because it's so transcendental, in the translation is given as a little understanding of the description of what happens in the material world as well, external, how the tears come from the eyes, you know, from like not so much internal affection, but something that we can see as well, what's happening with the queens, you know, shedding tears, feeling choked up and all that. So there's two parts of the story. In the beginning, we heard how there's two extremes. One, when Krishna is leaving Astanapur, he's leaving the Pandavas, he's leaving Queen Kunti, Draupadi, he's leaving them to go on his way to Dwarka. So this separation is very intense as well, so intense. It's completely the opposite of entering into Dwarka. It's from like one extreme to the other. So there, the Pandavas and Queen Kunti, Draupadi, and all the personalities there after the Battle of Kurukshetra, they were lamenting so much from this for the separation from Krishna. And some of them were fainting, crying, and Queen Kunti chanted so many prayers to Krishna before he left. So we can see, still, you know, it's a long period of time with his absence from Dwarka. So now he's going back. He's going back to his own residence, to his 16,108 queens. So because of this long separation, when Krishna entered Dwarka, he wanted it known that he's making his presence. So he blew his conch shell. And the sound was so tumultuous. It was so like, it's explained in the beginning of this chapter that fear personified is, scared of the sound vibration. So just like that, even now in this material world, we experience a lot of transcendental activities in the temple or in our daily Guru Puja or greeting of the deities, monk, whatever we practicing, we should also put this into perspective. We're hearing the conch shell blow and we should feel, actually, one devotee from Bengalis, Ayodhyapati, he blows the conch shell. You can just feel everything in your heart, you know, pulled out the way he blows it so loudly. So Krishna blew this conch shell so loudly that all the residents of Dwarka came running towards the sound. It was so powerful. So they knew actually it was Krishna already. So they were running from their homes towards that direction. They felt so much ecstasy. They saw him in the distance and they felt so much ecstasy. And they thought, we would go faster towards him so we would have a longer audience coming back. So I remember in the early days, very early days, when we were in Lord Chaitanya College in Wisdom, sometimes the guru would come to visit after a long period of time. He would come there. And Prabhupada said it's auspicious to have a long road going to a building. So most of our temples seem to have long roads. This is a long access road we got here. And Chaitanya College had a long access road. And all the devotees would walk up to the gate waiting there for the guru's appearance. He would come in a car and he would jump off from the car by the gates. And we would walk down all the way to the temple. All the devotees would be walking, playing kartals, mridangas, drum, and throwing flowers until he came right down to the temple room. So this is the audience we need to give to an exalted personality. Sometimes, you know, due to some past, activities in our life, then we cannot fulfill the requirements of our devotional service right to the end. But irrespective of that, we have to appreciate whatever anyone gives us. however less a time it can be. So Krishna, in due course of time, rewards everyone for their endeavors. So that reminded me how when Krishna was coming, all the residents went, and then they walked back with him. And all the ladies as well, they were very, very shy. No, they were shy. They went up in the balconies to get a better view of Krishna coming, towards Dwarka. So the shy ladies went on the balcony, and this, again, this separation, I was thinking of the story of Narada Muni. Narada Muni, after his long journey in search of God, Krishna, then he saw Krishna. In an instant, he saw Krishna, and he was so overwhelmed, but that vision disappeared. He was totally devastated. He was wondering what happened. Where is this form that he's seen? And then he was thinking. Then he heard a sound, and he's looking. He's looking all around where the sound is coming from. And then the sound said, "In this life, you still have a little bit of impurities to work off." And Narada Muni was so absorbed. From that time onwards, he was so absorbed. He continuously chanted the holy names and absorbed himself totally in the instructions given by Krishna. So in that way, at the end of the life, he got his desired result. Krishna gave him and trusted him with bhakti. So that's an example I was thinking of. Up the stories. And then here you would see the queen's insuperable ecstasy. I was looking at the meaning for insuperable. Does anyone know the meaning? Sometimes you look at words in these purports, Prabhupada's books, it's not even in the dictionary. It's amazing. So anyway, I was looking up this word, and it said, insuperable is like insurmountable, cannot be contained. These queens felt so much love, so much affection for Krishna, they couldn't contain it, because he wasn't an ordinary person. He was the Supreme Personality of Godhead. And these queens are actually the expansions of the Goddess of Fortune. And all the Goddess of Fortune are actually expansions of Radharani. So these are not like ordinary feet. We're not talking about ordinary relationships here. It's completely on another level. So these queens, they were there. They felt so much ecstasies. But because of their shyness, they couldn't run and embrace their husband because they were elders. It's explained there was some hindrance. Hindrance meaning, because they were so shy, there were elders there, and it is not etiquette for a woman to run to a man and just embrace him. So they were standing there, just looking, but the eyes, the contact of the eyes was there, Krishna and the wives, the conjugal, it's explained here at the end, a conjugal relationship between a husband and wife happens through the eyes. Sometimes I think, like, when you go to weddings, you can really, it's a mundane example. But when you go to a wedding, you see the boy and the girl, or the husbands-to-be, husband and wife-to-be, they absorbed in each other in the mandap. You can see them, like, looking at each other, totally absorbed. Sometimes they don't even hear the priest speaking. The priest have to repeat, mantras a few times before they, absorb it. So you can see through their eyes, they talking to each other. It's, it's to see that, although it's, but there should be affection there, as it's explained in the end, that there's nothing wrong with this exchange, Prabhupada says in the purport. So these queens, they were choking up, were shy, First, they embrace the Lord from the innermost heart, just by heart to heart. Sometimes you say soul to soul. We see now our younger generation, they're so innocent. They have so much love and affection. They're so innocent. They just look at devotees and they want to hug. And you can just feel them. When you hugging them, you can feel it's soul to soul. It's you know, the bodily, physical body is like set aside. There's so much love, so much affection, you know. Sometimes tears come in their eyes. You just can't help it when you see, you know, devotees after a long time. So this is how the queens, but the queens, they were in complete meditation of Krishna's, like, his form, his pastimes, his activities, his qualities. They were totally absorbed in his separation when he wasn't there. They were totally absorbed. And then it's almost like when Krishna was coming, they woke up from this dream and to, you know, embrace Krishna in this way. So, and they embraced him visually, and then they sent their sons. So they couldn't tolerate the separation from Krishna. So normally, when when you can't do anything yourself, then you'd get someone else to do it. Especially when there's elders around, you want to embrace the opposite sex, maybe your husband. Then the best, the nearest thing to do is send your child. And by the husband embracing the child, then the mother feels it. As it's explained here, because the child or the son is part of the mother's body, she gave birth to the child. And physically, she can feel the embrace by the husband giving it to the child. So there's a little bit satisfaction, but this, in this purport, Prabhupada says that is not enough for a husband and wife in a conjugal relationship. It's not enough. How can this affection, you know, for children, family, and, you know, aunts, uncles, or friends, whatever, we have affection. But for the opposite sex, for husband, girlfriend, boyfriend, we might call it conjugal or love in the material world, but is a perverted version of the real conjugal love and relationship to Krishna. Because the love and affection, the so-called love and affection in this material world, we understand, is temporary. And the majority of the time, this affection, this love, is based on the body, physical body. So unless we understand that this love, this affection, and this conjugal relationship is all meant for the service of Krishna, then we would understand our real, true constitution, you know, in our devotional service. So here the son goes to embrace, which is equal to personal embracing, but O chief amongst the bhrigus, they try to restrain their feelings. They tried their best. They didn't want to show publicly how they felt. Sometimes Srila Prabhupada would give a class, and then while reading, he would actually choke up from remembering Krishna or his pastime. But he would go quiet and not say anything. He would restrain himself. But when we read, you know, the conversations or the letters, sometimes he wouldn't be able to contain himself. And tears would be rolling down his eyes. You can't help it. And sometimes you feel like that. When you read something, when you read Krishna's pastimes, you read about the gopis, you know, or you listen to a class, whatever, tears just start rolling down your eyes. You just can't help it. That's natural. So they inadvertently shed tears. Inadvertently. I looked up that meaning. Inadvertently means unintentional. It wasn't like intentionally they shed tears. No, it just came automatically. The tears started rolling because of this deep affection. But the shyness was there. The queens, and you know, putting Krishna in the cores of the hearts, still, you know, experience the shyness. So Krishna is experienced in all rasas, whether it's like Sakya ras, whether it's Shantya ras, Vatsalya, Madhurya, all these rasas come from Krishna. We have to understand this. But in the material world, all these rasas, to family, to husband, to wife, to children, it's all affection, but it's all temporary. They come and go. We have to understand this. Our real love and affection should be dovetailed towards serving the Supreme Lord. Still, Prabhupada explains in the purport that Krishna consciousness doesn't mean that you don't show affection. You don't show affection to family members, for children, to husband. Affection is there, but our understanding is that all these, the affection, the love, the glorification, anything we do in our life is centered around Krishna. So sometimes in a mundane platform, you know, we look at it, not really mundane, it's all affection there, as long as we're devotee and we understand, you know, where we are in devotional service. Sometimes the separation from husband, wife, children bring happiness when they come after separation over a long period of time. Then we have more affection. Like, my daughter's coming now, she's coming on Sunday. She's been away 6 months in America, and I'm looking forward to, you know, seeing her. She's coming after 6 months. So you feel that affection. You feel that affection. She's coming. Oh, I want to go to the airport. And you're standing, your eyes are glued to the, you know, entrance, the exit of where they're going to embark and they come out. And you're looking, is this the person? Is that, you're looking for some familiarity on the person to see whether it's this one or that one. And you're looking like that. You're eagerly waiting to, you know, with affection, to meet your family members. So, but the contamination of the material world is such that when we try to enjoy separately from Krishna, when you see this, the end-all and the be-all of relationship, then real trouble starts. It becomes very, very difficult to practice our Krishna consciousness. And then there may be difficulties, you know, trying to perform devotional service. Every little thing that we do, we may externalize our Shri Radha Gokulananda Ki Jai. We externalize our activities in devotional service, then we have difficulties. We cannot cope. We find it difficult to chant, we find it difficult to read, but in the association of devotees and sadhana and, you know, all these things can fall away in due course of time. So, whatever I missed. So, yes, I wanted to talk about how important it is for us to understand that we can get knowledge from anyone. Whether it's, you know, Prabhupada told Sarasvati, ask her who's the Supreme, you know, who's God, who is God? And she said, Krishna is the Supreme Personality of Godhead. We can get knowledge from everyone. It's not that. Sometimes we have this, like, thing in our head that only a pure devotee can give us understanding of Krishna consciousness. So Prabhupada left us these gems of devotees. Amazing, amazing devotees. They are working so hard, so very hard to spread this Krishna consciousness. And through them, we can get the understanding, the adhika, how to perform devotional service. You know, we can't jump over. jumping over. We can get direct association with Srila Prabhupada, but at the same time, we should understand that his disciples are there to encourage us and to enliven us on this path of devotional service. A couple of weeks ago, I was listening to Shikshamrita. Every morning there's a reading, thought for the day, Shikshamrita after Mangalati. And this gentleman was saying to Prabhupada, "You are a pure devotee, and I trust you, and I have faith in you." And Prabhupada said, very openly said, "Do you know that all my disciples are pure devotees?" So this person didn't say anything. So Prabhupada said, "If you don't believe this, then you're a nonsense." I thought, my God. So it's like these devotees are there for us. I feel they're there. Prabhupada established these devotees. And he actually said in the early days, he said, "You were sent by my Guru Maharaj, Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati." So we have to take full advantage, especially like Vaisheshika is all out preaching. Some of the gurus, the sannyasis, they're writing books upon books to give us this essence, the knowledge that we can carry forward. We cannot pick this one, pick that one, and leave this one, and we're causing Vaishnava aparad. We have to see anyone that's following in the line of Prabhupada, anyone that's serving heart and soul to help us, to direct us, to nurture our Krishna consciousness, and we should respect that. We pray every day, Trinada Pisuni Chaina, Tarora Pisa Isnuna, Amani Namanade Na Kirtaniya Sadari. Kirtaniya Sadari, Amani Na Manadena. Unless we come to the position where we can offer respects to everyone, Amani Na Manadena. Not just to devotees, not just to the materialists, to everyone, if we offer respects, even to the animals, you know, kicking or abusive to them. No, we should offer respects to everyone, be kind to everyone. So we have to, we say these prayers, but unless we put it into practice, they're useless prayers. We say it every morning, we have to say it consciously. Everything that we do, we have to, you know, be conscious. Prabhupada said you have to be conscious first before we are Krishna conscious. So all our prayers should be, consciously heard and put into practice. So let's have a little discussion if anyone has any questions or...